I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 9th of March. And we're going to be talking about Hillary Clinton this hour of our program. She's going to be holding a press conference this afternoon. She has a busy day. She is speaking right now before the United Nations Women's Empowerment Principles, talking about the No Ceilings Report on the conditions for women and girls all over the world and her own record as an advocate for women's rights. Then the press conference will be addressing probably contributions to the Clinton Foundation and also her personal email account. This will be the first time that she addresses the subject. She is under criticism from Republicans, and many Democrats have urged her to be more forthcoming about the emails. We'll have two guests with us this hour of our program. Amy Davidson is joining us at the top of the show. She wrote a piece for The New Yorker recently titled, What the Clinton Foundation is Costing Hillary, and she looks at the foreign donations to Hillary Clinton's foundation, raising major ethical questions, particularly the money that the Clinton Foundation took from foreign governments. We'll be talking about that and also the emails with her. Later in the hour, Hannah Rosen will join us, national correspondent for The Atlantic, and she wrote a piece recently, Among the Hillary Haters, Can a New Professionalized Generation of Scandal Mongers Uncover More Dirt on the Clintons Without Triggering a Backlash? We'll be welcoming phone calls from you during the course of this hour, and here's how you reach us. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org, Facebook page The Kathleen Dunn Show, and Twitter is @KDunnShow. Amy Davidson, New Yorker staff writer, regular comment contributor for the magazine, and writes a web column where she covers war, sports, politics, and everything in between. Amy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks for being with us again. You've joined us before. You concentrate mostly on the Clinton Foundation. What is troubling, and it's hard to imagine that there isn't going to be a whole lot more investigation of this, is that money that raises some ethical questions between, between $10 and $25 million from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Have the Clintons said why they took money from a country that has, this is an understatement, a less than stellar effort on the part of equality for women?
The Clintons have said that it's very simple, that the reason that they took, the foundation took money from these countries is because they want to do good in the world, that this is how international foundations work, that the money is going to help some of the most desperate people in the most, in the poorest parts of the world, and that everybody's motives should be taken at face value. Now, that's tricky. Obviously, the Clinton Foundation has done a lot of good, but it's also should be just as obvious that people's motives can be very complicated when they donate to one foundation or another foundation. You know, there are a lot of ways to do good in the world, and one thing that one wishes perhaps the Clintons had thought about a little bit more or a little more cautious about was that sometimes there's a price to doing things one way and not a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of tricky things here. One is the Clinton Foundation says that they've been very upfront, that they've given more information than a charity of the kind that they are legally needs to. The problem is that it's, there is almost no model for this sort of charity, a foundation run by a former president while his wife is serving part of the time while she was serving as Secretary of State and other part of the time when she's kind of the candidate in waiting for president.
Right.
Obviously, that demands a really different standard, and that they weren't cautious about that is one of the really almost confusing things about this, why they wouldn't be more conscious of how it might look and what everybody, what, you know, the Saudis might be thinking they were getting, what other people might then find themselves wondering or doubting. It's Hillary Clinton made an interesting choice when she left office as Secretary of State, and that was to attach her name to the foundation. She, it had been the William J. Clinton Foundation, and now it's the Bill Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundation. Mm-hmm. And while she was Secretary of State, there were some, not total, but some restrictions on foreign governments giving money to the foundation because she was Secretary of State. Basically, if they had donated money before she became Secretary of State, those donations could run out and be renewed to an extent, but new ones weren't supposed to. When she left office, the foundation seems to have now said that they quietly dropped that restriction. One of the points of dismay was, well, she's running for president now. Is this really the time? Isn't it a time to be more cautious rather than less cautious? She hasn't declared that she's running for president, but it would almost assume that the Saudi government and other foreign powers were the only ones who didn't think she was running
right.
for president.
Well, it's hard to imagine that the Saudi government would be giving $25 million to the Clinton Foundation without believing firmly that she has a good chance of becoming president and that she is going to run.
That amount, and it's a range, I think 10 to 25, has been over the life of the foundation, so some is before and some is since. But it's tricky, and that they, of all people, don't seem to realize just how tricky it is one of the troubling things. There are also American corporations who gave money to the foundation at the same time that some of them were lobbying the State Department to try to get various things done in other countries, and that's a whole other tricky area, too. One almost thinks that maybe she should have actually put some distance between herself and the foundation when she left office instead of jumping into it, because it creates a lot of complications that she perhaps could have avoided by saying, you know, this is Bill's thing, not
right.
my thing. But she's made it her thing. So it's a hard one. Obviously, we want people to do good in the world. You want former presidents to help children in Africa, but there has to be a way to do good without compromising yourself, without compromising your candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because the Clintons are going in both directions. You know, Bill Clinton left the he's done with the presidency and now is in private life. And, you know, you want to think there are a lot of options that somebody in that position can explore. But if you're then, as a family, moving back into public life, you don't have the same freedom, perhaps. And this is, you know, the email controversy that's emerged now is related in the sense of the mixing of public and private interests and the confusion of where their public life begins and their private life ends in some ways.
And their lack of really being forthcoming and talking about any of it.
That's something that has always been part of the public's relationship with the Clintons. Again, the Clinton perspective is that they've been so examined, they've been so studied, that they're reasonably wary of the press and they have to take precautions. But the way they end up addressing that is often counterproductive and creates an atmosphere of what's going on here. Why would you do that? Why would you set up, in Hillary Clinton's case, a separate email server in your home when you're Secretary of State and your correspondence is part of a public record as a government employee? So they think it's so hard to know what the logic sometimes is behind some of those choices. You almost want to shake them and say, like, was this necessary? Did you have to do that last thing? And wouldn't openness from the start have been much more productive and much less damaging ultimately for them?
Amy, you write in the piece, lately the whole family seems to be gathering up as much as it can before she declares her candidacy, and the family really does have to stop. They have to stop when she declares her candidacy. What happens when she declares?
Well, some things will become more obviously off the table when she declares. There are rules about what candidates can accept as campaign contributions. Right now, the amounts of money that we're talking about are kind of extraordinary. Since leaving office, Bill Clinton has earned over $100 million in paid speeches.
I read that. I was astounded. $100 million. Wow.
$100 million. And since Hillary Clinton couldn't do that while she was Secretary of State in the same way. Since she left the State Department, she has been making up for lost time. And now, a certain number of those speeches, she said, particularly the ones that she gives at universities, the money for the speech will then go to the, she'll donate to the Clinton Foundation, but not all of them. And it's just, it's a lot of money that we're talking about. And you wonder again what the need is. Once you've as a family made a certain amount of money, should you perhaps be cautious, especially if you're planning on then running for president? Now, I should say, if you're not planning on running for president again, you know, look for whatever job you want to look for. But it does seem, well, again, although she hasn't declared, it seems pretty likely that she is planning to run for president. And that's when you feel that, as a member of the public, you can ask certain things or hope for a certain sense of restraint. And that is what does not entirely seem to be present.
Amy Davidson, our guest, the first part of the show, and we're going to welcome phone calls. Your thoughts about, she has not yet given her press conference. She's addressing the United Nations now, and then she will go to her press conference, and we're keeping an ear and eye on what she's going to say at the press conference, because we're talking about this, and she may start speaking at the same time, so we'll keep you up to date what she's saying. Right now, she's speaking before the United Nations Women's Empowerment Principles. Our guest has written about the Clinton Foundation and this money that has been coming in, and some scrutiny because of the foreign governments making contributions. And they are, you know, a little shaky when it comes to human rights, when certainly it comes to rights for women. And we're looking at the email issue as well with Amy. Amy wrote about the foundation, particularly in her current piece in The New Yorker, what the Clinton Foundation is costing Hillary. Here's our phone number. I'd love to hear from you. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Hillary Clinton has taken the podium. She did about 20 minutes ago at the UN, where she was introduced as a future president, to much applause. And we're going to go to you now to see what you think about all of this. And we start with Pat in Richland. Hi, Pat.
Hey, good afternoon. Good show. Hey, don't you think the American people are a little tired of Hillary? I mean, after all, they rejected her slam dunk style back in when Barack got elected the first time, because she was the shoo-in then. So hopefully this would be sinking her, making it, you know, that'd be good for America to get rid of her. Because can either of you think of anything that would make Americans more cynical for Washington politics than another Bush-Clinton presidential race?
That's an interesting question. You gotta wonder, is this all the talent that we have? And that could indeed happen, a Bush-Clinton race, really?
It almost seems likely. It's interesting. About a year ago, Barbara Bush, the first lady, the wife of George H.W. Bush, said that she herself had doubts about whether there were only two families in America who could supply all the candidates. But she seems to have come around now that her son, Jeb, is likely running for president. Also, there is something just a little bit discouraging about having four out of five presidents in a row having named either Clinton or Bush about the prospect of that. I think the Clintons would say that when Hillary ran in 2008 in the Democratic primaries against Barack Obama, she didn't have the experience of Secretary of State, which she has now. And that, in a way, is why some of these things are so damaging to her. The email question and the question of whether companies that lobbied the State Department made donations, because they get to exactly what she thinks is different this time. Her experience as a stateswoman who's traveled the world on behalf of the United States.
Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Paul in Winston-Salem. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good. I'd like to just say, first of all, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm 63 years old, and I've only voted for two Republicans in my life, Ed Brooke and Frank Sargent, when we lived in Massachusetts. But I would never vote for Hillary Clinton. I mean, if it's a Hillary versus Bush, I probably just won't vote at all, based on what you just talked about, the cycle of Bush's versus Clinton. But I think, you know, the notion that she would come on and release a message in the middle of the night that she wants to be transparent about these emails is just ridiculous. I mean, it's just insulting to anybody with any degree of intelligence. If she wanted to be transparent about it, she shouldn't have had a separate server. And if she had a separate server, she should have released it with everything else. And the big question is, what's been deleted off the server? What's been kept, what people did to sort of clean up whatever mess there might be in some of that files is going to be something that's going to be an unanswered question. Also, around the Clinton Foundation, I think the other thing that has to be addressed is his management of, you know, and now their management of the foundation, because of my understanding and from my reading, it was in pretty severe financial difficulties because he had ADHD, just doing everything and not doing anything. But as far as I'm concerned, she will never get my vote.
Okay, thank you very much for the call, Paul. Amy.
Well, I think some of those questions, I'll be curious to hear what Hillary Clinton has to say at her press conference today. That is an issue. When she said that she wanted the public to see her emails, which she said in a tweet, did she just mean the ones that her staff had selected from her whole existing library of emails as responsive to State Department requests, or did she mean that she was going to open up all of her emails and have those looked at by perhaps somebody not on her staff? You know, this is sort of a technical question, but it's an important one because it gets to who decides what a public record is. If Hillary Clinton has all of her emails on her own server and then says this one, and that one are related to my government service, you can have those. That's different from somebody saying, well, these are all clearly government ones and those ones aren't, and obviously have those. This is why people have work and private emails, so that there doesn't have to be this debate over which email is which, and there doesn't have to be this question about all of the ones that you say, well, these are private, you don't have to see these, which is kind of what she's done now. You don't want to be in that position, which is why it's so unfortunate, really, that her email was conducted the way it was.
Thank you, Paul. Margie in Milwaukee. Hi, Margie.
Hi. I will guess I have a lead off by saying I am progressive. I'm not sure that I would support Hillary candidacy at this point. I certainly didn't last time, but the two questions that I have is that I don't believe that President Bush was scrutinized over their family relationship with the Saudis, which goes back well back to George, the first George Bush, and strong family ties where they visited each other's personal homes and ranch and all that kind of thing. And I never saw any scrutiny over that. And the second thing is that Colin Powell has come out to say that he had personal email as Secretary of State because the government email at that point was woefully inadequate. And he sees the flack about Hillary's email as, well, she did it, then I was wrong, too, because this is what sometimes you need to do. And he's a pretty upstanding Republican, and I think if you talk about Hillary's emails, you need to discuss Colin Powell's comments.
My understanding is that the rules changed, though, after Colin Powell. Am I wrong about that, that there were different set of rules?
I think you're right, Kathleen, that there's a new set of rules in 2009, partly because of you know, there was a several years of uncertainty when we were all just learning about email and how to use it and what was private and what was public. And there was an attempt in 2009 to write some rules and make sense of that. It's her adherence to those 2009 policies, rules that people are trying to figure out right now. In terms of what the caller said about different people's relations to different countries, I guess this goes back to the larger question of how we feel about a couple of families moving in and out of the presidency. Obviously, if you've been the president, it's an extraordinary few years. You meet extraordinary people and you make these connections. When you're a retired president, you know, maybe you keep in touch and build on that. And that's not so much a problem. That's how we have elder statesmen. That's how we have a lot of knowledge built up in you know, our common memory. The problem is that then when there's that move back into public service from that, and what happens to those relationships then, what's sort of been given up and what might be compromised. That's why they're in such a tricky situation and why they have to be so careful.
And I think her point is a valid one, that nobody's done sufficient scrutiny about our relationship with Saudi Arabia. We do it for, you know, what's good for us in some way, but I don't think many of us understand why we're so cozy with them and have been for a long time.
You know, that's a great point. And the other thing is the one thing that might sort of take the pressure off of Hillary Clinton on all of these things is if her opponent is Jeb Bush, because he also has complicated family ties. So what if it's the two of them, and you could say the same thing about both of them? I found it really sort of sad when your earlier caller said that he might just not vote, and that's a real worry if we get to a point where people feel that it's just a bunch of families, it's just another
right.
world, that they're not connected, and that it's just that political power is something that's kind of traded around. That's never how people should feel.
Yeah. Well, and the Democrats would appear to be in a bit of a bind, because if she doesn't run, it's hard to believe she won't. What is their plan?
That's a great question. Apart from everything else about Hillary Clinton could be the best and strongest candidate in the history of the party, and it would still, I think, be something of a pity that there's not been really an attempt at a contested primary, that there hasn't been a real search for a real asking the question of who are the talented
right.
people in the Democratic Party? Who's the next generation of leaders on a national level? Because, you know, just even the people who are not going to be the first tier candidates, but they get their names out there, they stand up at a debate, and you say, like, oh, maybe in 4 years I would vote for that guy or that woman. That the Democratic Party is not going through that process right now, and it's because they seem to have, you know, on some level felt that they've got the perfect candidate, and maybe they do and maybe they don't, but it's they put themselves in a place where if she decides not to run for, and again, she hasn't said yet that she will for sure, then there's going to be a really fascinating
yes.
scramble.
Yes, there would be.
In the Democratic Party.
Thanks, Margie, for the call. Kurt in Chippewa Falls. Hi.
Good afternoon. My point may or may not have been raised over the last week or so, and I'm not claiming it to be the case, but what's the issue of security? You know, in the post-Snowden era, when it's been so hard to keep government secrets secret, maybe this is the next best way of doing that at the State Department level, a matter of security.
Well, you know, Hillary Clinton may have felt that, and maybe she's right. I don't have the technical knowledge, but what if Hillary Clinton hired she might have hired a great technical expert. She might have hired a not so great technical expert. It was kind of on her. So that's sort of also the question people have. Should that be sort of a personal choice of a cabinet secretary of, you know, how secure their emails are going to be, or is there something that we can do that's a little better?
I wanted to make sure that we mentioned, because you do in your article, we've talked about foreign governments' contributions to the foundation. You also discuss corporate donations to Clinton-linked charities. How are those problematic?
No, this was based on great reporting by the Wall Street Journal. They really tried to look at, the donors that the Clinton administration, the Clinton Foundation had disclosed, and at the different business, and then at the lobbying disclosure records of those corporations to see, corporations disclose when they've lobbied the government on certain issues. And they were looking for correlations. They went out of their way, the journal, to say that they didn't find any impropriety, any overt impropriety, but they just had enough to ask some real questions, like, why is this company making a donation to the foundation at the same time that it's heavily lobbying the State Department on this issue or that issue? And was there a sense on their part or anybody's part that it helped to get your case across with the government to donate money in a certain way? Obviously, one wouldn't want the situation where that's the case.
One more call for you, and then we switch guests. Similar topic, but not exactly the same. Chris in Monona. Hi.
Hi. Well, I actually am not too concerned about the whole email scandal. I'm way more concerned about issues like the fact that she voted for the Iraq War, which, led to the deaths of a million Iraqis, or the fact that in 2008, there was that whole week where her and Obama were nowhere to be found, and it just happened to be on the same week as the Bilderberg Convention that was going on. And, you look at things like what she did at the Rosen Law Firm while her husband was governor, and there was some really shady stuff going on, plus the fact they've been dealing cocaine for decades.
I don't know where you're getting that information. There is, of course, she described it as a vast right-wing conspiracy, which we'll get into the next half hour, but there have been people who have been out to get her who have made up some pretty sensational and not true things.
I would also say that I think, in a way, the Clintons, they do have people who accuse them of really outrageous things for which there's no basis. And in a way, they've almost been, it almost discredits the real questions sometimes. But I would also say that I think that Hillary Clinton would probably love to talk about policy issues and, what she thinks she accomplished as Secretary of State. So I don't think she welcomes this distraction.
Right.
By any means.
Well, thank you, Amy, so much for being with us. Good article.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Amy Davidson, her recent piece in The New Yorker, What the Clinton Foundation is Costing Hillary. We will continue our conversation. Hannah Rosen joining us next, and she has a very interesting piece that talks a little bit about what our last caller quoted, and she looks at right-wing organizations out to get the Clintons some years ago, and no doubt there will be moves now, if they haven't already started, I'm sure they have, to delve deeper into the Clintons' past, and we'll be looking at whether or not there was a right-wing conspiracy and if one still exists. Hannah Rosen, the piece in The Atlantic, Among the Hillary Haters, Can a New Professionalized Generation of Scandal Mongers Uncover More Dirt on the Clintons Without triggering a Backlash? And we'll take more of your phone calls. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's meet a new guest. Hannah Rosen is with us now. Hannah is a national correspondent for The Atlantic and the author of the book The End of Men. She writes for Slate and co-founded XX, Slate Site for Women. She has written for The New Republic, GQ, New York, and The New Yorker magazines, as well as The Washington Post. Hannah, thank you very much for being with us. Hello.
Hello, my pleasure.
Well, your article looked a great deal at what happened during the Clinton years and the vast right-wing conspiracy. Tell me about this meeting that you had, who maybe gave us a little indication of what's ahead for the Clintons, the founder editor of the American Spectator.
Well, that was Clinton hatred circa the 1990s. I wanted to revisit and immerse myself in what it felt like during the actual Clinton years, when we were just subjected to scandal after scandal after scandal, many of which were generated by a small conservative magazine called The American Spectator.
And is there a continuing effort now that's really delving more into the Clintons' past? If she decides to run, what are we going to see in 2016 for that
race?
I
would say we've already seen because
really?
Of the Hillary Clinton emails. But what I was looking at in this story is, what's the difference 2015 and the 90s? Are the people different? Is there still a vast right-wing conspiracy, as she said, in the 90s? What does it look like now? And I did find that it does look quite different. Back then, it was just a ragtag team of conservatives funded by one rich man and some newbie reporters. And right now, it's really a conglomerate. It's much more professionalized, coordinated with the campaign system. So it's even more formidable now, but possibly less crazy.
Mm-hmm. If she runs for president, you write, in 2016, she will face something more like a vast right-wing conglomerate.
Exactly.
The groups, who are the groups? What are the groups? They're well-funded. Who's funding them? What are they?
So opposition research, which is what used to happen, was, we think of it as like dirt digging. You know, they're these private investigators. They dig up dirt. They throw it at the wall, see what sticks. Right now, you've really got a campaign operation. So you've got these, the groups are funded by the Koch brothers is one group. They are Republican funders who give lots of money to Republican causes. You remembered the Swift Boat campaign during the Kerry
sure.
years. So it's something like that. And then there is a there's a big outside opposition research group run by someone who was actually just hired by the Mitt Romney campaign, who I quote in the story. So as you can see, there's just a lot more coordination between campaigns and outside groups. And also remember that outside groups are not limited by campaign donation limits like campaigns are. And so that's one of the advantages of having this coordination be slightly looser.
And are they involved in some way? And if so, what is it on the email story?
Well, this is what's happened in the email story. The email story came up. Hillary Clinton hasn't given what we in the press have deemed a satisfying answer. And so you can see people rushing into the gap. Like, if you take an issue like Benghazi, when Hillary was Secretary of State, did she do enough to protect the diplomats in Benghazi? That is a scandal that keeps coming up over and over
sure
again.
Sure does.
And there's been congressional hearings about it. And so, you know, immediately into that vacuum of the email scandal, someone comes and says, well, there probably is a lot of emails related to Benghazi that she hasn't turned over. So you can see, and then the question of the Rose Law Firm, which is a law firm from the 90s that was always under a cloud of suspicion, comes right back in. And so you can see that, you know, people will fill the vacuum with all these old scandals. You know, once you've got Hillary Clinton sitting on a pile of mysterious correspondence, you know, we're immediately brought back to the 90s. I think someone had shown a clip of her when she suddenly discovered papers in the White House that they'd been trying to subpoena for a long time. So it really taps into the old image of Hillary as trying to hide something for conservatives.
And is part of the reason that she's been fairly silent on the emails until pretty soon, she'll be giving a press conference here fairly soon, because of all of these stories that came out of the 90s that were so outrageous? Is that what is making her media shy, or is something else at play?
I think so. I mean, I think the Clintons really, from the beginning, they were deep in this basically generational baby boomer war. You know, it was really pretty vicious. As I write in the story, it almost had the quality of sibling warfare. You know, it was very, I know these people, they were draft dodgers and pot smokers, and it became this generational war, and people really felt like they were setting out to get the Clintons. Now, there was a lot that they dug up that was quite legitimate, and it just got mixed up in there with all this, you know, frankly, pretty crazy Clinton hatred, and you can almost never tell the difference, like, what was real and what was not real. And so I think, yes, it did make her worried, and some might say paranoid, and very nervous about ever dealing with the press. I mean, the Clintons are famously resistant, at least she is, because she doesn't have any reason to believe that she'll be treated fairly. And now there's so many more conservative outlets than there used to be. I mean, in the 90s, there wasn't really Fox News, and there weren't all these online places. I mean, there weren't. We take them for granted now, but they didn't really exist. I mean, if you had a scoop, you basically had to vet it by one of the main newspapers.
Mm-hmm. But she's at the point now, she's going to be momentarily doing a press conference, but she's at the point where you've got people like Senator Feinstein and other Democrats really urging her to come forward, that the longer that she's been silent about this, the worse the damage.
Yeah, I think that's true of this email scandal, because we do need an explanation for why she used a separate email channel. It does confirm what people mistrust about her, which is that she operates by her own rules, that she thinks she's above the law. I mean, you can, it's very easy to blame the press. You know, it's very, that's something you can throw out there and say, oh, well, it's the press's fault. They always, you know, they always give me too much trouble. They're unfair. But, you know, as a public servant, you have a responsibility to make your correspondence open and accountable to the public, and she didn't do that. So it seems to me pretty straightforward that she owes not us, the press, but the public an explanation of why she operated that way. And I don't think saying, I didn't like the press, is going to be good enough.
Mm-hmm. And what about the investigation or the charges about the Clinton Foundation? Do you think that the press needs to do a more thorough investigation of foreign contributions, of corporate contributions?
Been a lot of investigation of that so far, and people have turned up things which are just short of scandal. You know, basically, Hillary Clinton employees also being paid by the Clinton Foundation. I mean, you have to connect the dots from A to B to C, and I think that's going to come up repeatedly during the campaign, and it's going to be up to people to decide, voters, that is, whether they think that qualifies as an actual scandal or not. You know, can you trace that she was given money by X donor and then made Y decision as Secretary of State because of that money? It's sort of like the scandals we hear all the time about political contributions. It's not that different.
Mm-hmm. And Hannah, this came up a bit to my surprise during the first half hour with our guest from The New Yorker. This whole idea, several people calling in and saying, if we had, and it looks like we might have, a Clinton-Bush presidency run in 2016, I'm sorry, I'm not going to vote for either one of them. There is a feeling among some, I think, and it might be bigger than many people think, that isn't it time for somebody different, that there's a sense of entitlement when it comes to both families thinking, well, it's my right to be president now. Shouldn't we be looking at some other talent for this office?
Yeah, I mean, I'm torn about this in the case of Hillary, because you do feel like her time was 2008. She really had worked hard for it. It would have been wonderful to have our first female president. Then came Barack Obama, and that created a whole different momentum in the race. And so, you know, there aren't that many women rising through the pipeline. So I do, you know, I feel for her and her political ambitions in that sense. On the other hand, she's never been able to shake this sense that she's just another politician. I mean, people say that was Barack Obama's best line against her when he was running against her in the primary. Women usually get the advantage of seeming like outsiders, seeming like the other underdog, seeming like not one of the boys. That's something people attribute to female politicians, whether they act that way or not. But Hillary has lost that advantage. People just don't see her that way. They see her as, in fact, overly political. And so, I feel bad that she gets lumped in, you know, with the Bushes, who've been, you know, generational political dynasty. But I guess, you know, I guess that's just how it is. She really has been around for a long, long time.
Would you agree that it's time for the Democrats, because we're talking about her this hour, to be looking at and to be nurturing some other talent? Because if something should happen with either of these stories, the Democrats really have put all their eggs in one basket here.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, I think, you know, for example, Elizabeth Warren's name comes up a lot, but she's made it clear she doesn't want to run if Hillary's running and take her chances away. And so absolutely they should, but I don't think they're going to.
Let's welcome phone calls for you. Hannah Rosen is our guest now. She has an interesting piece in The Atlantic. Among the Hillary Clinton haters, can a new professionalized generation of scandalmongers uncover more dirt on the Clintons without triggering backlash? I think it's probably a foregone conclusion that they will be triggering more dirt on the Clintons, and it's only just begun. What do you think? Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter. John on email writes this: none of this business of the emails matters. What really matters are what views and understanding a potential candidate has on a wide range of topics, domestic and foreign. Neither of the candidates will be perfect human beings. They all have have flaws. The important points are whether you want a president who supports affordable health care for everyone, strong support of public education, support of the American worker in terms of maintaining collective bargaining and minimum wage, and reluctance to invade foreign lands, and so on. What do you say to that, Hannah?
Disagree. I don't think this is a personal issue. I think governance and transparency are absolutely critical, and I think she should clear the air on that. It's not a matter of whether we like her style or anything like that. I agree with him there, and all the things he says are really important, and I wish we would stop being distracted by this email thing, but I definitely don't think it's nothing. It's not nothing to operate. I mean, that's you know, what Nixon did, basically, sort of operate thinking. I'm not saying this is even remotely that equivalent, but that's an example of where governance and how someone governs and how transparent they are is actually important for the public to know about.
Frank in Onalaska, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm not a big fan of the Clinton dynasty, but my bigger question with any of the recipients of her emails is, why didn't Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA, the executive office question why this was a private email account and challenge her on that? They all need to justify why they didn't, why they weren't aware of it, and everything else is kind of immaterial.
Hannah, what do you say?
That's a great point, and that actually might end up being a point in her favor. In other words, when she comes forth and says whatever she's going to say, maybe part of the argument will be, look, I was emailing to Homeland Security, National
right.
Security. None of them thought it was a big deal, and so, you know, it probably wasn't a big deal, and that will be fine, and then we'll just understand that these extra email operating systems are useful for X and Y reasons in public life. That's fine. That's a perfectly good explanation. I just haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the call. Mike in Sun Prairie. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, the first comment is, do you think that with these professional dirt diggers that we're headed for a sort of a political disaster in this country?
In what way? What are you thinking, Mike?
If all they do is argue about nonsense and all the important things just get, you know, ignored, I mean, what's going to happen? There could very easily be a war in Central Asia coming up soon. And no one seems to think they should try and agree about a few things.
Hannah.
I agree with that. What I am trying to decide and I'm not sure about even after writing my story is, are these groups, like America Rising is a group that I write about, they're much more transparent in how they do their work than opposition research groups were in the 90s. They're much more beholden to the campaigns. You know, will they be more responsible? I mean, if you think of the most irresponsible rumor that was ever spread about John McCain having a, you know, black love child, right, which was a ridiculous rumor. His family had adopted a young girl who was not black, but who was East Asian. So at the time, they were pretty loose and freewheeling, as were a lot of the things that were said about the Clintons, whereas now it might be that there's a little more accountability. I'm not saying that's what our campaign discussion should be about, but it might be that the vetting process is tighter now. You couldn't get away with some of the crazy stuff that you said in the 90s about the Clintons.
Hannah Rosen is our guest this hour. We're talking about Hillary Clinton on this day that she is speaking before the United Nations on women in the world, and will then be holding a press conference in which she will be addressing the email controversy, and I would imagine would be asked some questions about the Clinton Foundation as well. Hannah has written in The Atlantic a piece, "Among the Hillary Haters, Can a New Professionalized Generation of Scandal Mongers Uncover More Dirt on the Clintons Without Triggering a Backlash?" What do you think? We'll be taking more phone calls momentarily on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go back to phone calls for Hannah. Mike in Sun... Oh, no, we just talked to Mike. I'm sorry. Let's go next to Jim in Aurora, Illinois. Hi, Jim.
Yes, good afternoon. I'd like to say that I'm a registered Republican with a history of voting independent. I guess you could call me a moderate. And the issue of the emails and digging up the dirt and all of that kind of stuff, it just seems to me to be smaller issues. I mean, in my view, Hillary, with her experience in foreign policy and with her experience being married to Bill Clinton through the years that he was president. I just view her as someone who's pretty capable and probably make an excellent president. And isn't it time in this country that we could just put the fact aside that she's a woman and vote for the most capable person for president?
Hannah.
I think we're hearing a consensus from your listeners so far. They don't want to talk about the emails, so maybe it just is us in the press who care about the emails. It sounds like they, you know, maybe a person out there listening just sees this as a giant big distraction, and who cares about the emails, you know? Possible.
Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid said just a few minutes ago, this is a hiccup. Is it a hiccup?
Hello?
Yeah, did you hear that, Hannah? The Minority Leader Reid said of this whole email incident, it's
It was a hiccup.
It's a hiccup.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, sorry.
Oh.
Yes, he said it was a hiccup. You know, maybe it'll end up being a hiccup. Why don't we wait until this afternoon and see?
Okay.
And, you know, and see. There's nothing really in those emails. I just, if it didn't, so what's new about this new era of scandal? One thing that's changed is that people don't just throw things out there, but they try and create a picture of a candidate. So that opposition research is not just dirt, it's designed to create a coherent picture of a candidate that the opposition party can latch onto. So Jeb Bush's wife, you know, buys extravagant jewelry. Do we really care about that? Probably not, but it's designed to create a picture of the Bushes, remind you that they're rich, you know, the way we did with Mitt Romney. So I think it's a similar thing here. It's not whether we care about the emails. It's the larger picture of trying to remind you that Hillary Clinton and the Clintons are entitled and believe that they don't have to follow the same rules as everybody else.
Yeah. Thanks very much for your call, Matt. And we go next to... I'm sorry, we go to Matt in Madison. Hi, Matt. Hi, Matt. He's not there. Okay. So what does she need to do during this press conference, which will take place momentarily, to redeem herself?
I think Hillary just has to give us an explanation for, one, why she decided to set up a separate email system. It may be logistical, you know, it may just be, you know, she may have had security concerns, but not, you know, I don't like the press and I didn't want them to read what I was writing. That's not an acceptable explanation. Secondly, she has to assuage people's concerns about security. This isn't a security threat for X and Y reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are the two important points that she has to make. And then if she's truly in campaign mode, and mind you, she hasn't even declared that she's running yet, maybe she could win people over a little
right.
bit. I don't know. You know, I mean, this is what the Saturday Night Live skit this weekend makes fun of, is Hillary's constant, you know, need to, or our need for her to be more relatable. I don't know if that says too, if that's, you know, if that says more about us or about her, but that is one of those tropes that is out there.
That same thing that we were hearing during 2008, whether or not she's likable.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Catherine in Madison, hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling. I am a Democrat, and I like Hillary. I don't really mind her. My first thoughts when this story started breaking was just that, you know, I think it's not so much about corruption or something, but just kind of that she feels entitled. And I sort of think that that's kind of an issue that people have with her to begin with, is that, you know, that she comes from a place, you know, of entitlement. And I think it kind of demonstrates that she does feel entitled. And so that's all I want to say.
Okay. Thanks for the call. 30 seconds, Hannah.
Yeah, I think Bill Clinton, because of his personal background, that didn't wash over him as much. He was born poor. But with her, that sticks to her a little bit more. You know, is she entitled? Does she feel a kind of baby boomer righteousness to be able to do whatever it is that she wants to do, and the public be damned? So that's the problem with this scandal. She nailed it, your caller.
No. Thank you, Catherine, so much for your call. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. And Hannah, thank you for being
My
with
pleasure.
Us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Our guest this half hour, Hannah Rosen, and Hannah has a piece in the current issue of The Atlantic. Among the Hillary haters, can a new professionalized generation of scandal mongers uncover more dirt on the Clintons without triggering a backlash? We also thank our first guest from The New Yorker, Amy Davidson, who has a piece that looks extensively at the Clinton Foundation and an examination of the Clinton Foundation donations from questionable regimes in the country and also from corporations. So, and the press conference will be starting sometime pretty soon. Interesting to watch that, I'm sure. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this hour. Thanks to KP Whaley for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. We're going to be talking with Robert Habish, esteemed trial lawyer in the country, and with his biographer, Kurt Chandler, coming up next.